بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا خاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله.
Peace be upon him. Peace be upon all of his family. Peace be upon all those, and peace be upon all the prophets. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you all. At the beginning, I'd like to, of course, shed memory on the spirit, on the martyrs of resistance, the martyrs of our nation. I'd like also, of course, now to shed memory on the martyr Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi, also on Sheikh Raghib Harb, the martyr Sheikh Raghib Harb, also our brother who we miss today between us, the martyr, the commander Hajj Imad Mughni. Peace be upon the souls of all the martyrs. I'd like now to read the Fatiha and also to pray upon their souls. I welcome you all. I welcome you to this occasion, the occasion of the anniversary of Liberation Day, the 8th anniversary of Liberation Day. And you stand here today. You are filling the squares once again, and you are proving once again your identity. You are showing your true identity, that you are the most honorable people, the most dignified people. Allah said in His Holy Book, in the name of God, the Merciful, of course the Pharaoh took control of the land and made the people Shia, and the Pharaoh today is America, America and its instruments like Israel. These forces are of course shedding the blood of people, are also harming the women. They are the corrupt forces in the world. And of course, on the other side, we have the promise of Allah, the promise of Allah which goes forever until the Day of Judgment. And we, what Allah said is that those who were oppressed in this world will be empowered, and they will be able to defend themselves, to take control. And of course the Pharaoh and his soldiers previously got the defeat they deserved. My dear brothers and sisters, our 8th anniversary is the anniversary of liberation, the victory of the resistance and of the people and of the Ummah, the nation. This day, or this year, is the 60th year of the Nakba. 60 years have passed after the Nakba, after we lost Palestine and the establishment, and there was an establishment of this entity, the Israeli entity. 30 years have passed after the Israeli invasion of southern Lebanon in 1978. Of course, at that time, we had the borderline, which was in the aftermath extended. And so this is really an occasion to look deeply, to of course recollect the lessons on the level of Lebanon and on the Arab and Islamic world level as well. I'll go in without any introductions. I'll go right in depth. Of course, there is uniqueness in this occasion. We must give rights to such an occasion. We must give it what it deserves, this occasion. But I'll go without introduction because we have a lot to speak about today. I'll begin with Lebanon. Concerning the resistance, the resistance has given, my dear brothers and sisters, has given an example, has given a strategy in two areas, not in one. We have the strategy of liberation and, of course, a liberation and kicking out the occupation forces. We also have this strategy of defense, defending the people, defending the nation against the assaults, against also the invasions and the threats. So here we have an example of two strategies, of two perspectives, in liberation and in defense. And this is the message of our anniversary today, our message to Lebanon, our message to the Arab and Islamic world. It is a common message which is being given by the resistance. All the resistance fighters in Lebanon are giving this message. In addition to their fighters, all the resistance fighters, the Palestinian ones, in addition also to the Iraqi resistance fighters, we are giving one clear message to the Ummah. When Israel invaded southern Lebanon in 1978, and when it occupied part of the southern territories in Lebanon, the Security Council, of course, adopted decision 1425, and we in Lebanon, or 425, we waited for this decision to be implemented. We depended on the international community. Also in Lebanon, the issue was raised about a common Arab strategy in order to confront. Of course, what they said is that Lebanon by itself is incapable of confronting Israel. But none of this happened. The international community did not do anything to implement the decision, resolution 425. Nor did the Arabs, of course, make any moves, take any steps in order to begin with a defense strategy, because this Arab community, these Arab regimes, had lost the will of confrontation. But we did not just depend on this, because the Imam Musa al-Sadr had established another, had spoken and raised another alternative, a third alternative, which is the alternative of Lebanese resistance. The resistance with the, heroics of the people of Lebanon, with the courage of the people of Lebanon, with dependence on Allah and taking advantage of what we have, of our resources. What was the result of these choices? Israel took Lebanon too lightly, and it was sure that Lebanon was incapable of confrontation, of confronting it. And so we saw the big invasion in 1982. Of course, this invasion, Israel wanted via this invasion to put Lebanon with Israel, to make Lebanon part of Israel. And Israel also aimed to make a new Nakba, a new Arab Nakba via this invasion. Yes, of course, the Israeli invasion, what we saw then was the Lebanese standing against this Israeli plan. This is the same goes for all peoples in the world. The same goes for all peoples in history. We Lebanese, we are not unique. We are not a special case in this issue. During or throughout history, when there is a country, when we have a country, when we have people living in a country, and when occupying forces come from an outside country, the people of this country will be divided into many different groups. Now, this the same case goes on Lebanon in 1982. This was also the case in Palestine. It still is the case in Palestine, actually. This is the case in Iraq. This is the case throughout history, and it will be the case in the future. Of course, Concerning the occupation, how do we deal with occupation? Many people, of course, we have divisions. Now, a big group of people stand non-aligned with anyone at the preliminary stages and wait to see what happens. Another group is not concerned with what goes on from the very beginning. It is only concerned with eating and drinking, living its daily life, and going on the weekend outside, going and having fun, without, of course, taking into consideration the situation of a country. Some people, of course, just care for these issues. Now, a third group, a group of spies, of betrayers, such as the Antoine Lahad army, mercenaries, who are also Lebanese, actually. A fourth group, which has common interests with that of the occupation, and hence it cooperates with the occupation because of these common interests. Now, a fifth group is a group which is defeated internally, a group which is desperate, but it cooperates with the occupation according to the theory of limiting the national losses. And most of the time, these groups are intellectuals, made up of intellectuals. Another group refuses occupation politically, also in the media, but it is not ready to pay the price, pay the tax of blood. And the last group considers that its duty, its humanitarian duty, as a human and as a moral duty, as a religious duty, whatever they belong, whichever religion they belong to, its national duty, wherever they come from, this group considers that their duty is liberating their country from occupation, whatever the price may be. And this group is ready to pay this price. This group is the group of the resistance. This group believes in resistance and really performs resistance in the best way. These divisions, these different groups, is something normal. These divisions are normal and historical, a normal thing in society, not unique to Lebanon. Now, one of the results of this is losing national unity on any choice. Some say that there is no national unity concerning the resistance in 1982, or there is no national unity concerning the resistance in Palestine, or there is no national unity concerning the resistance in Iraq. This is true. But there is no national unity on being non-aligned. There is no national unity on being spies or betrayers. There is no national unity also on cooperating, and there is no national unity on not caring for the country. So no decision has national unity. We don't have common agreement on any issue. Each group makes its decision and goes with this decision. This is what happened in Lebanon. And I'd like to tell you that any people who are under occupation, just like in the past, the resistance does not wait for national unity, nor does it wait for popular unity. The resistance must take arms and go to perform the duty of liberation, liberating territories, liberating the human, the people, liberating our prisoners, and bringing back dignity and honor with blood and with arms and with sacrifices. This is what happened in Lebanon. The resistance which was part of the Lebanese people, which is part of the Lebanese people, was not all of the Lebanese people, of course. The resistance, which was made up of different political parties from different religious sects, and we also have martyrs from different religious sects in Lebanon. We have martyrs from, of course, different resistance parties, whether they be Islamic or national. And the resistance depended on its will, on the jihad, depended on its expertise, depended on the courage of its youngsters. And the Arab world and the Islamic world had to lend a hand to help, but many did not do this. And Syria and the Islamic Republic of Iran, these two countries who I'd like to thank, in addition to them, many of many certain Arab and Islamic figures also lent the hand of help. And we saw the first victory in 1984-1986, and resistance continued. And we saw the historic victory in the 25th of May, year 2000, a clear victory for Lebanon and for the resistance and for the Arabs and for the Ummah. And this was a complete, clear defeat for Israel and for Israel's scheme, for Israel's plan, which it wants, a country from the Nile to the Euphrates. But we, of course, cut the hands of Israel in southern Lebanon and in the Beqa. We saw a humiliating defeat for these Zionists. No rewards, no gifts, no guarantees. And here, the strategy of liberation was successful. This strategy which we depended on, which the resistance depended on, this strategy succeeded. But the strategy of negotiations from Madrid to others, these negotiations did not bring back one inch of territory for Lebanon. The strategy of waiting, of course, increased the strength of our enemy and increased the weakness and desperation of our country. And so in the year 2000, in these same days, the strategy of liberation which we depended on was successful in Palestine. After the Nakba in 1948, Palestine and the people of Palestine were also waiting. They were waiting for their brothers, for their Arab brothers, for their Arab colleagues, so that they would have a common Arab strategy. They waited and waited. The Palestinians also waited for the international community, endlessly waited. And Palestine was a forgotten issue, were it not for the resistance, the armed Palestinian resistance, in the first bullet which was fired. And the result of this resistance was reminding all the world, and also reminding the occupants of Palestine, that there is a Palestinian people, and that there are Palestinian territories, and that there is a Palestinian cause, and that there are people who are calling for their rights, people who are carrying arms, who are of course sacrificing with their blood, whatever these sacrifices be. And of course the Palestinians once again repeated that they in millions will go to the Quds, to Jerusalem. And even up till now, today, at this day, whenever we have whatever successes we have in Palestine, ever since the resistance in Palestine up till now, any success is due to the resistance, to the jihad, to the armed struggles of the Palestinian people and all of the Palestinian resistance factions. And we saw the big achievement, the big important victory in light of the changes the world witnessed. Of course, what we saw is Gaza, the Gaza Strip, which was isolated from the whole world. Gaza was able to defeat the army of the Zionists, and Gaza imposed on the Zionists for the second time after Lebanon a humiliating withdrawal from Gaza, without any conditions, without any benefits for the Israelis. Once again, the strategy of liberation was successful for the resistance. And once again, the negotiations did not bring back territory. They made concessions for territory, concessions which must not be made. What I mean is, up till now, from Lebanon to Palestine, the experience, the experience has showed us and proven to us that as Arabs, as an Ummah, as Muslims, our only way to exit the Nakba, our only way to prevent the Nakba, the ideals of the Nakba, the only way to prevent a Nakba, a political and economical Nakba, the only way to prevent this is resistance. The way of resistance, the culture of resistance, the will of resistance, the effectiveness of resistance. Now I'd like to speak about Iraq, and very briefly also. In Iraq, we have a clear American occupation. We have American control on the resources of Iraq. The Americans, during the last few years, have played the game of democracy and occupation at the same time. And now this game, this trick has been uncovered. The aims of these American democracy in Iraq have been uncovered. How? Let's go back to what happened after the Americans entered Iraq. After that, the Iraqi people were divided, just like any people in the world, which I mentioned before. But they were divided into two big groups, one group which has faith in a political process and one group which has faith in resistance, especially armed resistance. We in Hezbollah, it's very natural that we would stand with those who support resistance in Iraq. This is our belief. This is our ideology. This is what we believe in according to our experience. It's very normal that we stand with that group, the group that believes in resistance. But those who had faith in the political process took their time. And now they've reached the big test, the decisive test, which is, what is their position towards the agreements which America wants to impose on Iraq and its people? The Americans call on the Iraqi government, on the Iraqi parliament to sign on these agreements. Now here, we can uncover the real American intentions, what the Americans mean when they speak about democracy. I mean, they came and opened the door for everyone, Islamists, nationalists, patriots, and they know whose friends those are, whose friends that other group is. They opened, they began with the democratic game. Of course, they began with an elected parliament, and then, of course, the government was elected. And so the whole world says that we have a government elected and a parliament elected in Iraq. But today, they call on this government, they call on this parliament, the Americans call on the government and the parliament to legitimize the occupation and to sign an agreement which gives the Americans control of the sovereignty of Iraq, which makes the security and the political decision making and the oil and the Iraqi resources under control of the Americans. And here, so the American intentions have become clear. And here, those who support the political process in Iraq, whether they be Islamists from the Shia or Islamists from the Sunnah or nationalists or patriots, whoever they may be, they are now facing the test. You say that you took part in the political process in order to limit the losses, and you say that you took part in the political process as a way to, of course, confront the occupation. Today you are up against a test. Will you give Iraq to the Americans forever, or will you take a position which you must take according to your religion, to Islam, to Arabs, to your nationalist feelings? Will you take this position, which you must take according to religion? Today, in the name of all those who are here in front of me, in the name of all those free people in the Arab and Islamic world, I call on the Iraqi people, and I call on all of the religious and political figures in Iraq. I call on them to take the historic position which prevents Iraq from falling in the hands of the occupants. And as the resistance was able in Lebanon, as we saw also in Palestine, The same thing goes for Iraq. The resistance in Iraq, with all its different factions, was able to defeat one defeat after another to the American army. Today, here, Iraq is called upon. I call upon Iraq to, of course, begin with a defense strategy, the same strategy which we depended on in Lebanon, the same strategy which we saw in Palestine. This strategy is the only way to bring back the wounded Iraq, to bring back Iraq as a strong country for its people, for the Ummah. My dear brothers and sisters, before I conclude with the issue of the resistance, let me speak about the Palestinian issue, the Lebanese issue, I'm sorry. I'd like to tell you that we have also given an example in the strategy of defense, just like we gave an example in the strategy of liberation. And of course, we saw the July 2006 war on Lebanon. This was an example of how a popular resistance, of how, as Finograd said, how popular resistance fighters can stand for weeks against the strongest army in the Middle East. So we're not speaking about a defense strategy which is in books, in history books, or which is written in universities or studied in universities. We're speaking about a defense strategy which was implemented and which led to the defeat of the attacker. This was confessed to even by certain Israelis themselves. They confessed to their defeat. And this war in July changed a lot in the region. And this weakened the chances of war in the region. The chances of war are less because of what we saw in July 2006. Yes, the blood of the martyrs of the Lebanese, the courage of you Lebanese, the resistance of the Lebanese, the resistance which, of course, defeated Israel and led to the failure of the Israeli assault on Lebanon, this decreased the chances of war on the region. Concerning the so-called American war on Iran, this issue about a possible American war on Iran, the chances of this are less likely after the war, the Israeli war on Lebanon. The war on Syria also, the chances of a war on Syria are very, very, of course, low. We don't have a lot. It's very unlikely. Now, concerning the war on Lebanon, a new war on Lebanon by the Israelis or by the Americans or by those who are putting their money on the Israelis or the Americans, we in Lebanon, we are the most dignified, honorable people, and we fought in the July 2006, and we will also fight in any upcoming war. After the July war in 2006, the strategy of defense for the resistance, we see a similar strategy in the Gaza Strip, and Israel is fighting guerrilla warfare in the Gaza Strip, using the same way of war as the Palestinians use. They are not invading Gaza, not because they fear from the Arab response or the Arab position towards such an invasion, because Israel has a green light, a complete green light from the Pharaoh of our era, George Bush. But it does, Israel does not invade Gaza because it does fear the courageous fighters from all armed resistance factions in Gaza. This strip, which is isolated, which is hungry, this oppressed strip, Israel is standing and does not know what to do, does not know what alternative it will choose. So here also we can see a clear example of the success of the strategy of defense. We saw it in Lebanon and we see it in the Gaza Strip. Although there is no balance whatsoever, a balance in power, a balance in arms and in capabilities and in economic resources and in international support. And so we find that the Pharaoh of this era, who is going very soon, George Bush, when he came to Palestine, And when he ignored the Nakba of the people of Palestine, and when he gave total support for Israel, he expressed his anger on the resistance movements in Lebanon and Palestine and Iraq, and on those countries who stand side by side with the resistance, those countries who support the resistance. And George Bush promised the world and promised the Israelis that Israel will celebrate another 60 years anniversary in 60 years' time. It's 120th anniversary. But George Bush, I'd like to disappoint you. George Bush promised that the defeat will be for Hezbollah. He promised that Hezbollah will be defeated, that the resistance movements will be defeated. And I'd like to tell Bush, and I'd like to tell Condoleezza Rice, who spoke about the loss of Hezbollah, but as long as Hezbollah is depending on Allah and is being righteous, and as long as Hezbollah has the support of his people, you are the ones who are defeated, you Americans, the American administration. My dear brothers and sisters, on the 8th anniversary of Liberation Day, I call on the Arab governments and regimes, not just the Lebanese government. I call on all of these governments to think about the strategy of liberation and the strategy of defense, to study these possibilities in light of the balance of power in the region. In Lebanon, we always speak about a national defense strategy, but I'd like also to add that we need a strategy of liberation for the Shib'a farms and the Kfar Shuba area. The way to defend defense is to, of course, prevent assaults and attacks, but we need liberation of the Kfar Shuba hills and of the Shib'a farms, and we also need to free our hostages, our prisoners. But concerning the prisoners, this is our issue. The prisoners are issue for Hezbollah. We promised that we will close this file. Very, very soon, Samir al-Kantar and his brothers will be among you here. Samir al-Kantar and his brothers who are now prisoners in the Palestinian territories. I'd like now to go to speak about the Lebanese affairs, but I want to enter from the door of the 25th of May 2000 in Bint Jbeil. At that time, the crowd stood and I was at their service. And I stood there and spoke in the name of the people. And it was my honor to announce its victory and its sacrifices, the sacrifices of the martyrs. And I gave this victory as a gift to all Lebanon, to all Palestine, to the whole Ummah. My dear brothers and sisters, when I stood in Bint Jbeil in the year 2000, and you all remember that day, I said that we had done our duty, and it is enough that Allah is satisfied with us because we performed our duty. We don't want thanking from anyone. We don't want rewards from anyone. We don't want gifts from anyone. I said, we don't want authority. This territory, which was liberated with the blood of the resistance fighters, the martyrs, this territory is for the Lebanese state, and this is for the Lebanese authorities. And let the Lebanese authorities take total responsibility from the security perspective, judicial, social, economical perspectives. We don't want to take any responsibility from the security perspective nor from the administration perspective. Isn't this what we said? Did we break our promise? No. We did not try any spy. We gave them to the Lebanese judiciary. We didn't have any armed people on the streets, on the borders. We called on the state to go and perform its duty. Yes, we called. We had two requests that those villages who, of course, witnessed a lot of confrontations in the south, we requested that these villages be developed because these villages were in a deteriorated state. I mentioned the Baalba, Kirmil, Akkar. What did you do for these areas, for these cities and for these villages? For 8 years, you people who always speak about establishing authority, why didn't you go to the borders? Why don't you go to those areas and do your duty as a state, as authority? The Lebanese do know. But let our Arab brothers know that there are certain areas in Lebanon which don't have any services from the Lebanese authority except for police and tax. That's all they know. Certain areas, they don't know services, nor do they witness any caring whatsoever. The Lebanese state takes no interest in certain villages on the border, in certain areas. I said we didn't want an amendment in the political structure in Lebanon. We did not call for an amendment in the Taif agreement. We did not call for having a share in the authority, nor did we call for holding a share in the administration of Lebanon. Isn't this what happened? Didn't we keep our promise? Although, when they come and criticize us, and they, of course, speak to us about the French resistance, the Vietnamese resistance, the Indian resistance, the whatever resistance, they say that after resistance achieves liberation, they surrender their arms. I'd like to tell them, all the resistance movements who are victorious in history, and I'd like here to benefit from history, all resistance movements who are victorious in history, after they achieve victory, they either come to take authority of the state, or they call for taking authority, for controlling the state. But we did not do this. We did not request authority. We told them, this authority is yours. You have control, but don't manipulate this control. Be just. Take care of the people. Solve the problems of the people, the social problems, the economic problems. Of course, take into consideration the dignity, the honor of the people. We did not even call for having a share in authority after the victory in the year 2000. We gave you the authority. Who can say the opposite? Who can deny this? Yes, I'd like to repeat once again, I speak here specifically about Hezbollah. We don't want authority in Lebanon. We don't want leadership. We don't want to control Lebanon. We don't want to take Lebanon into our own hands. We don't want to impose our ideology or our plans on the Lebanese people because we believe that Lebanon is a unique country, a country of diversity, a country which cannot stand on its own two feet except if everyone takes part, if everyone cooperates, if everyone stands side by side. And this is what we called for time and again. Many tried, via their media sources, tried to distort this fact. And they think when they say that the Wilayat al-Faqih, when they speak of Wilayat al-Faqih, that they humiliate us. No, I'd like to tell you now, once again, I am very proud that I am an individual in the party of the Wilayat al-Faqih. The just faqih, the wise faqih, the courage faqih, the honorable, honest faqih is us. And I'd like to tell them, Wilayat al-Faqih tells us, Hezbollah, that Lebanon is a diverse country which you must maintain, you must hold on to. During the last events, a lot was said. They said that the aim of the latest events, which we saw in Lebanon, was